This is Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan, the podcast.
From Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.
Welcome back. Carl Dina was right, by the way. There's a little bit of confusion over what is a cashless society and a digital currency society rather than an online banking online. And banking online is a bit digital, different to digital currency. And just to explain it, like, digital currency doesn't exist. There is no physical note, no physical coin. It's like Bitcoin and cryptocurrency. People think there is actually a gold-colored Bitcoin because you see this image all the time online. There is no gold-colored Bitcoin. There is no such thing. There is no actual physical money. There never will be. It's basically just a serial number that's associated with that single note. And that serial number then gets broken down as the digital currency gets sold off, or percentages of it gets sold off or used, become a different serial number. So essentially, when you have a digital euro, for example, in the future, which is what they're looking to do, every single note and every single euro and every single portion of a euro will have a separate, unique number, which means at any point, if they want to, and I'm not suggesting some sort of conspiracy, because that's what Carl was saying, that's what he fears. If they wanted to, they can control everything that you spend your money on. So in the future, for example, if they got dogmatic in relation to climate change, they could turn around and say, oh, well, hold on, I've just looked there. He spent this on a plane, on a flight. We can stop him from doing that. We can stop that person from flying. We can stop that person from eating red meat. We can stop that person shopping in a certain shop. We can do all of those things because it's digital currency. I'm not suggesting they will, but the fear Carl has is too much control. But let me know what you think, by the way, in relation to cash and digital currencies or banking online. Stephen, hi, how are you?
Oh, not so bad. Wet and windy here. Oh. But absolutely.
When you're in Cork, what do you expect? You know what I mean? So I mean,
we know that. It's normal. I definitely don't think we've global warming here. That hasn't changed in 30 years or 40 years.
No, there's no global warming in Cork. Stephen, in relation to cash, do you use cash? Because I'm surprised at the amount of people who physically don't have cash. I can tell you now, if I look at my pocket, I think I have about €3 in cash.
Oh, I would use cash all the time. In fact, down in this part of the world now, more and more shops are going cash only. And the reason they're going cash only is the cost of the machines, the cost that the banks charge for, you know, basically transactions.
Yeah, but 2.5%.
You know, even the banks, doing their, looking after the funds and direct debits. A lot of people now, they can't afford those. You know, and I generally go to shops, a farmer's market, You rarely pay with a card. If it's really expensive, you do. If you take cash out and you give it and you get your proper carrots and spuds instead of these mass, crappy ones that you get. Okay. And I pay virtually all my bills. Yes, they go through the bank, but I'll use the credit card. I don't use a direct debit. Because it's cheaper to use a debit card than it is to do a
direct debit.
I don't know
how the banks are. The banks have changed, obviously. Nowadays, when you go into a bank, there's hardly anybody in it anymore. It's just like five machines, right? Or usually one person at reception. Years ago, you used to have 20 people working in a bank at tellers. And the banks say that it's not viable to have people working there anymore and yada, yada, yada. They don't have the money. And yet, over the last 20 years, we've all moved to online banking. And as you rightly said, there's a 2.5% roughly charge for the merchant every time you tap your card. So how are the banks not making money anymore? Or how are they not making the same money to employ the same amount of people? They're lying. They clearly are making a huge amount of money and could easily employ the same amount of people, but they just don't have to anymore.
It's all an excuse to keep profit. You know, our bank's making a bloody fortune now. They really are.
So what are you going to do? What are you going to do when there's no more cash? When the cash goes, and it will go at some point. We will get to a point where they'll turn around and say, sorry, cash is not legal tender anymore.
Yeah, well, when they do that, I would love them to be down a halting site. really.
I know there are communities who tend to use more cash than others. I'm not suggesting any particular community tends to use more cash than others, but there are communities that use more cash than others. Yes, I'm aware of that.
And you know, my local Chinese, the Indian, they stop using the banks because it's just costing them too much money.
Yeah, my local Chinese don't take cards; they only take cash. Pardon me.
Yeah. Only cash. You know, so it's, you know, and like if they take cash away, I'll look, well, then I am Katie Bread.
Sorry about that. I do apologize. I was drinking a sip of water there. It went against my breath. Sorry about that, Stephen. Yeah, no, absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. Let me go to Sharon as well. Sharon, hi, how are you?
Good, thanks. The word that comes to my mind is allow. Allow what we allow to happen. Are we going to allow this like we allowed everything else?
But we do allow everything. That's Carl made a really good point. We don't fight.
Problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't fight. We need to start fighting this, I can tell you, because it's a very scary scenario we're entering into. I use half cash, half card, but I always have plenty of cash. You know, I like to use cash because I can see what I buy. You know, another point is all the young kids growing up have no clue of money since they started using
cards. No, they have no value of money.
Our mothers and fathers used to have a saying, you know, watch the pennies and the pounds will take care of themselves. And by God, was it true? It was true. You know, we feel really rich carrying around these cards, you know. But at the end of the day, with everything gone so expensive, we need to be aware of how our money is spent.
So when you say you carry cash, I'm assuming you get it out of an ATM machine.
Yes.
Okay, so it's all accountable. And if somebody comes to your door to do a job, do you give them cash and do you ask any questions?
If you wanted cash, I'd give them cash.
Okay, no questions asked.
No.
And most people, by the way, I'm not condemning you. Most people are exactly the same. They want a deal. They want a bargain. And if cash gets you the bargain.
It's not that, Niall, you know. It's the fact that if the person wants cash, even if it was €700, if he wanted cash over card, I would gladly give it to him because God forgive me, I'm about to say something I shouldn't. But the powers that be, charge enough flipping tax on people. They tax it. I mean, you know, a lot of people on high wages, half their money goes on tax. They're starting to not want to do overtime because they're working for the government.
But see, the argument from the government and the Revenue Commissioner, what would be, if they were here, their argument would be, well, if everybody paid their tax, including all those who are working for cash, if they all paid their tax, the rest of us would have to pay a little bit less.
Well, there wouldn't be an awful lot, cash these days, I don't think.
Hmm.
And the kids learning how to use money as well is a big thing. Remember, kids used to have a savings jar,
a piggy bank.
You know,
yeah.
And I swear to God, they should still have them. That's the way to teach them.
My mother used to have this big glass bottle on the floor in the front room. It was huge. It's about 3 foot wide, a big circular thing with a short neck on it. And she used to put like 50 pences into it and all this kind of thing. And it was going on for years, and eventually she broke it and cashed it all in, and there was like £400, and she was delighted with herself. It was all about cash. But I can see a society in 10 years' time, Sharon, because they're now talking about the digital euro, and obviously Pascal Dunne's trying to come up with a design for the digital euro, like a logo, I suppose, of some description.
We don't know why they're doing it. They know why they're doing it. We do not know
it's very obvious why they're doing it. Because they want to get rid of the black economy. They want to get rid of the economy in this country that's below the radar, that's not no taxes being paid on it. And they want everybody compliant.
Well, that's ridiculous because, you know, cash should never disappear. I don't know if there's that many people working on the black market.
Well, there is.
Is there?
Oh, yeah. It's worth. Depending on where you read it, right? And I'm just telling you here, okay. So estimated of Ireland's shadow economy, as they call it, right? Which a lot of that is cash, and this is according to the World Economic said the GDP base. So estimates of the informal economy at 11.1% of GDP, which is around depending on where you read it, and because it's hard to find out exactly, they were estimated could be worth 20 billion every year.
Well, fair enough.
So that's 20 billion euros circulating. or business being done under the radar, not just all cash, but just done under the radar, away from government.
Okay. Okay. Well, I would agree that, you know, I believe in always paying your taxes. I do believe in always paying your taxes.
But if you believe in always paying your taxes, then why would you say if the guy comes to the door and does a job for cash?
Because they might be stuck. They mightn't have a lot of money and they might need cash. So I'm not going to deny them that.
Okay.
They might be struggling because the government are charging them too much bloody tax.
Yeah, no, I understand that. And I understand why. But the argument I gave to Carol earlier on is if three people come to give you a price for a job, and two of them are more expensive because they're tax compliant and they're paying VAT and tax, and one of them is not, and he's looking for cash and he does the job for half the price. It's a bit unfair on the two that are doing everything by the book, isn't it?
I don't know. I don't know about that one. It depends on whether the guy who's doing cash, like, does pay cash some
tax
when he does.
Nah, you can be sure he isn't.
Or tax, pay tax.
Yeah, well, but you know he's not.
Well, you should pay your taxes. So
you should. But if somebody's doing a job for cash and requires cash, you know they're not paying tax on it. That's the reason they're asking you for cash. Otherwise,
they'd be paying. I still don't know about this digital currency. You know, there's a lot we don't know. It's like when we went in to vote for Europe and all the things we voted for. We didn't have a clue what was coming down the line. You know.
Well, we know now.
Well,
hang on. Let me just go to John as well. John, hi. How are you?
I'm not too bad. I fully support the black economy because I've often paid for cash for stuff that had to be done in my house, right? And if the figure is 20 billion or whatever, I mean, that money just doesn't disappear into a black hole. The people who receive the money for doing jobs for cash, right? They buy their school children's outfits, shoes, food, clothes, holidays, whatever. That money goes back into the economy anyway. It's not like there's just stuff under the mattress, right? The money is used, so it circulates around again. It might be officially being taxed, but the money still moves around the economy one way or the other.
Yeah, it's hard. So, I tried to get a figure on how much physical cash was in Ireland, you know, under the mattress, all that in people's pockets. There isn't actually a figure as such. But according to research, right, it says among those who carry cash, 30% carry 20 euro or less. So 30% of the population would have 20 euro or less in cash on their
I would always have at least 200 euro in my pocket.
Okay, only 19% carry more than 100 euro.
Yeah, well, I carry about 200, we'll say always, right?
Now, don't get me wrong, I'd always have about 20 or 30 quid, you know, in an envelope in the house somewhere, just in case someone's coming to clean a window, cut the grass, whatever, because they're not going to take Revolut off you or whatever it is. So, you'd always have a couple of quid there but I wouldn't have a huge amount of cash. Long, long time since I've had a huge amount of cash.
What are you defining as?
Hanging around your house, like 500 or 600 quid or 1,000 quid, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of people that come in and they do keep a lot of money at home, and, you know, especially elderly people, and sometimes that's not wise. But what I don't like about this thing there, I mean, on Sunday I was visiting my mother's grave and I stood over the graves. The Republican plot and Cork here is not far from where she's buried in the same cemetery. And the great Tom Barry that fought the Black and Tans in Kilmichael, Terence MacSweeney, the Lord Mayor that was shot dead in front of his family in 1920 here in Cork, and Terence MacSweeney that starved to death in Brixton prison for this country. I mean, to see the likes of that maggot then, that miserable little toad, Pascal O'Donoghue and these, bending over backwards and taking up the backside from Europe.
To be fair, that's his job, by the way. He's not just the minister here in Ireland. He's also, you know, he's the Eurogroup president. So
he is, but that's the problem.
To be fair, John, I kind of like Pascal. He's a nice guy. He's not offensive in any way. He's never said anything nasty or horrible.
But
hang on, that's just his job.
But he's not doing the job on behalf of the Irish people. And he's getting,
this particular job, because he's not being paid to do it on behalf of the Irish people. He's being paid to do it on behalf of the Eurogroup. So he does have two jobs.
He's shaking us up in a roundabout way because he's doing the big buy for Europe, which is affecting us here, right? I mean, Micheál Martin, as you remember, only 2 years ago, 4 years ago, stood up in the door and said he doesn't believe in backward-looking sovereignty. The man doesn't believe in sovereignty at all.
Yeah, he thinks it's an outdated concept, yeah. I know.
Our sovereignty has been eroded time and time again, and we've been stripped away between migration, the highest electricity costs.
To be fair, John, okay, you're of the older generation like myself, all right?
Yeah.
Most young people, and that's what Sharon was talking about a few minutes ago, young people don't seem to have the same value on money. They don't have cash. Some of them have never had a pound in their pocket or a euro in their pocket.
But you see, this is exactly like, I mean, which suits all of Europe, the governments of Europe and the government.
Well, of course it does. Handling.
Because the young people of today, they're just tap and go.
Okay, but to be fair, and I want to be fair and balanced in relation to this, of course it's better for government. Because if you go back 40 years ago, everybody was getting cash. Everybody was being paid. Hardly anybody was declaring it for tax or whatever it was, right? You know, most of the money wasn't being declared. Now we've got a system where the majority of money is declared for tax, which means the government have more money to spend on services, on education and healthcare. Don't get me wrong, they're doing a bad job of it. But they have more money to spend on all that kind of stuff. So what I'm saying is it is beneficial to society when people pay all their tax.
Isn't it great for them that they've, as you say, if that's the perception, that they have extra money thanks to whatever, and the children's hospital, which started off...
John, I'm not arguing with you. I know we're making a hames of it. I know we're disastrous when it comes to, you know, healthcare for children, all that kind of stuff.
It's not the collective we. It's not you and me and the good people listening and the contributors out there. It's the people that are elected are supposed to get things right, and they're getting things wrong, and it seems to be against the will of the Irish people all the time.
No, you're right. I'm not going to disagree with you. Okay, getting back to what you're going to do when there's no cash left, John. When all the cash is gone.
I'll finish on this point. The fact is, look, I mean, I don't know at this stage, like, I mean, as I said to your researcher, why do we even bother having local elections and especially a general election when all the decisions have been made from Europe? And it looks like...
But we knew that. When I was campaigning, I said that to people. 85% of the laws that we have in this country and the decisions made come from Europe. We know that.
Yeah, and all the bodies, all these people that ran in tandem with you in Dublin and everywhere else.
Certainly weren't my buddies.
I mean, have you heard of them lately?
No! Shireon O'Riordan's slogan was, "For the love of Dublin," and he got the seat instead of me. I heard him, haven't heard him talk about Dublin once since he went over to Europe. I'm so sorry I didn't get the job because I really wanted it and I really wanted to make a difference. Stay there, John. Let me go to Alan as well. Alan, hi, how are you?
Hi, Noel.
Okay, getting back to the cash. Do you use cash, Alan?
Well, no, when I get paid on a Wednesday, Niall, I put my money into my bank. Mm. And I never really use cash. But ironically, if I want to buy cheap cigarettes or the cheap ones, I get 60 quid out of the bank machine and I buy me 200 cigarettes. That's
because you can't really tap the lad that's selling the black market cigarettes.
No, so I understand this genuine concerns and John's attitude towards the Irish government, and most people's attitude is, we should forget, Niall, that over the referendums that we've had by Europe, with the exception of two, we all kept voting yes. Yes to Nice, yes to
second time round.
And you see, Niall, the Irish electorate are very, very set in their ways. And the majority of the people who voted Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael are settled people who don't really have a stake in losing that when it comes to the bigger issues of the economy. So John's attitude is that the Irish government is doing everything for Europe. Well, it is the EU. It's not the EEC now. It's the European Union. We're actually, only because we have referendums, we wouldn't have been protected by...
No. Europe is technically a federal state now. Yes, it is.
Now, what we have now in Europe, Niall, is in the next 20 years, it'll be... we don't... As John did say something relevant, we don't really need an Irish government or county councils because the majority of legislation comes from the EU. And we're signed up paid members of the EU and we're sycophants when it comes to the EU. When it comes to governments of Ireland, they really are EU fans. They love the EU.
Yeah, but John obviously wants our own country to have more sovereignty, which I don't disagree with necessarily. And there are other countries within the EU who have exemptions against certain laws. Alan, get me back to cash here for a second. Will it be a sad day when cash disappears?
Yes.
I think it will be a bit strange because there's lots of things that we don't use cards with, and we use, say, other services with the like money. So I think I don't think it'll become as obvious as not having any cash. Cash will always be king.
I don't think so. I'm predicting, and Carl Dieter even said, in 10 years' time, there'll be no cash.
This is going to be a situation where you're going to have to be prepared before the next 20 years. The EU is going to consolidate for their position, and we're going to have a one European currency that's not like the euro. It's going to be a digital euro, and we're going to be all getting...
And do you like the idea of a digital euro where every single note, so to speak, or every single one, because it would be all a binary system, will have its unique identifying number?
I'm on it. Niall, I'm on a digital euro now, really, in a way.
Yeah, of course.
Because I don't really use the money. I very rarely have cash in the house, ever. And so I use the card to pay me bills and to pay this and to pay that. So if I got a digital card where I had to get me welfare through the card, I wouldn't really be a problem.
Okay, well, stay there for a second. Let me go to Anne-Marie. Anne-Marie, hi, how are you?
How are you, Niall?
There you go. Alan says it's not a problem. He doesn't care. Doesn't really care.
Well, I care. I totally agree with the chap. It was a Carly had on at the very beginning of the show.
Yeah,
totally agree with him. I think we should be pushing back against this completely and just keep using cash. I encourage.
Well, it's hard, isn't it? Because everything you do online nowadays. Everywhere demands that you pay online.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is hard, but like the likes of going out at night or going to the shops or at night, I think like my wages would go into the bank, and the first thing I do is pick money out, and I use cash now for my shop. And now I went through a stage of using my card for everything, and then I realised the banks know everything about you now, about what you like. Where you, like I know a couple that were going for a mortgage, and I think the partner, the girl, was in work, and they, what you call it, you know, when they go for the lotto, group of them, what do you call that?
Syndicate.
Thank you. She was part of a syndicate, and when they went for the mortgage, she was asked had she got a gambling problem, because her money was going to the likes of something like Paddy Power somewhere. They were doing it online.
Yeah.
So the banks know so much about us now because we're using our cards for everything. And I'm just getting to the stage that I think governments and banks and insurance companies, they just have too much control over everything. They just know too much about you. And it's just like they take all the time. I mean, the banks brought this country to their knees and we bailed them out and we got flip all thanks for it because we're still paying for that.
And the next generation will be paying for it as well, yeah.
Exactly. And I really say to people, please just use cash because they're doing their best to get rid of it. They really are. And it's just another control thing. And
let me ask that, Alan. Alan, I don't disagree with Anne-Marie, and I know a lot of people, you might think it's a conspiracy theory, but you know, banks and government knowing too much about your lifestyle, about where you've been, you know, in the future could be used against you. At the moment, Alan, it isn't really, but in the future, you know, that could be used against you.
Niall, there's only so many things you can surmise about what could happen. Like, if you think
they can control your spending. They, you know, if we allow digital currency, they can literally control how often you can leave the country, how often you can buy a flight, how often you buy red meat.
That is a worrying symptom of involvement of government in people's lives. But what we need to do is remember that we signed up to the EU, and all these rules and regulations that the EU signed, we gave our way over to it.
Here's an idea. Here's a novel idea. When we signed up to the EU, there was no such thing as digital currency, right? There wasn't even bitcoins out in those days. Why don't we, when we sign up for things, or be it in any referendum, that we rerun those referendums 20 years later again, because things change? Do you understand what I'm saying? That's like saying if you marry somebody, you have to stay with them for the rest of your life. It doesn't matter whether they hate you and you hate them. In other words, so we're married to the EU. Surely we should be allowed every now and again to decide, or let the people decide, if we want a divorce.
Well, no, I'll tell you in a detail about that. The governments don't like people having too many rights.
Well, I'm aware of that, yeah.
Yeah.
And the idea of giving us a referendum to leave the EU will never happen. the idea of us getting out of Europe.
Don't say never. Happen. Don't say never.
No,
it'll
never happen, Niall. Never.
I'm sure the British thought that 20 years ago as well.
No, the Brits were always against the EU. They weren't fans.
I think they have bought something in England that if you're taking more than £800 from your account.
I saw that, yeah.
You have to tell the bank what...
No, I think that's been slightly exaggerated. I've seen the video going around, and I know in England now what they're doing is, but we do it all the time anyway. If you do a bank transfer, like if you say, for example, you add a new payee on your bank account, you can only put €1,000 to that person in one day until they become a regular payee, like your wife or your partner or something. But in the UK, they wanted to introduce this legislation whereby if you transfer more than £800 to a single individual in a single day, that the revenue would be made aware of it. But here's the thing. The revenue were made aware of everything anyway. I went in last year to change some money to dollars going away on holidays into a bureau change. All they were sure to do was ask me what colour underwear I was wearing.
Oh, I'm not sure. Even if you go into the bank or into the post office now to get foreign currency, you have to fill in this little form and literally all your details. If you buy a postal order in the post office now, the questions you're asked, what's it for?
Well, that's all to do with money laundering.
Your address, your phone number.
Yeah, no, I was going to mention that many years ago I sold a car. And if a lad gave me cash for the car, it was like £4,000 or something like that. It was about 10 years ago. And I went into the bank to put the £4,000 in my account. It was legitimate, obviously, you know, I'm not hiding it or anything. And I swear to God, I thought they were going to call the police. It was like, where'd you get the money? Can you prove where you got the money? Can you show us the reg of the car? I've never seen anything like it in my life. It was crazy. And thankfully, it was all right in the end. But I swear to God, it was like the Spanish Inquisition. All right, back after this break.
This is Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan, the podcast.
From Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.